actually going to get through all of it tonight, but I think we'll make a make some headway into it. I think it's an important verse, as most verses are, but anytime the Apostle Paul is giving us instructions in telling us that he's using us for an example, then it is good that we follow his lead, trying to understand more about him, know more about his truth, the truth of the mystery of the one body, and also just a better understanding of what the Apostle Paul went through as a member of Christ's body, and as a member of someone who was said to be an example. I think maybe even more so than Moses was said to be an example. I think the Apostle Paul was said that about himself, and he instructed others to follow him in a similar manner. So that's what we want to think about tonight. So with that, let's bow our heads and say a quick prayer. Our Heavenly God and Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness, your mercy, your goodness to us. We were thinking about Val's brother who's in the hospital and not doing well. We are not sure how many more days he has to be on the planet, but we know that he has stated that he is a believer in Jesus Christ, and that he has his health has deteriorated to such an extent that he's had to go to the hospital. We ask, Lord, that you would be with us tonight as we think about him, as we pray about him, and as we continue in this book of 2 Timothy and try to share the truths that are in it, that we might be better servants for you. We ask these things in our Savior's name, the Lord Christ Jesus, and for his sake. By the way, her brother's name is Gene Philpott, and if you could pray for him and his family, that'd be great. We would appreciate it, and his family would appreciate it. So with that, let's get started. Let me get the scriptures opened up here. So we are in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. It is August the 8th. It's a Tuesday night. And our study has been in 2 Timothy. I know Roger said he's going to get into this subject and try to attack it more from we would call it the 10,000 point view. I'm trying to go to the ground level on it. I just feel led to do that. I don't have any problem with him looking at it from a little further away, a little higher up, and covering the same book that I'm covering. So let's read 2 Timothy 3. We'll start in verse 10, and we'll read down to 14. But like I said, probably we'll just be looking at verse 10 more than anything else. So he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. And what I've done, I've added the word my before each one of these things that are listed here. It just seems to me like it is talking about different things. It is talking about, the next one says manner, my manner of life. The next one is called my purpose. The next one is referred to as my faith. And the next one is referring to his long suffering. And the next one is considering his love. And then he talks about his patience. When we get to it, in verse 11, he's talking about his persecutions. My persecutions, it says, and my afflictions, which come into me, and these are the places that comes into these sufferings come. These afflictions come in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, and he says, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. So he's always stating to the Lord be the glory. He says in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly. In other words, that's those that have a desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're not sure. It seems that some have more to bear than others. We know that the Lord will not put more on us than that we can bear, that he has provided a way that we can continue to deal with the things that the attacks of Satan and from others. He says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And when we think about Satan, he's a liar, and he's a liar from the beginning. And he is deceived into thinking some thoughts and persecuting especially the Apostle Paul and anyone who desires to live godly. And yet, and he's going to lose the war. He may win a battle from time to time, but he's going to lose the war. And he says in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast believed them. In other words, Paul has a confidence, has a lot of confidence, that the Lord was near, that he was guiding and directing his thoughts. Not that he didn't have some thoughts from time to time that weren't the kind of where he wanted to keep his mind all the time, but he was human, and we know that he had he states in one place about some of the thoughts that he has he'd rather not have, and he finds himself thinking on those, and then the things that he would rather think about, he for whatever the reason, he struggles with those from time to time. And I think that's common for us also, as we try to follow the examples that the Apostle Paul set. And it should give us comfort. It should give us assurance. It should give us a confidence in the fact that the Lord is going to be with us too, that he's going to be with us also. So he starts out here by saying in verse 10, but thou hast fully known, and that has the idea of knowing to the degree that is fresh in your mind, that you've been following after Paul. We know that he had some different dispensational things that he taught, but we also know that he was able to stay focused on the Lord, to have faith and confidence in the Lord. And we should too, as we follow his lead. He goes on to say that you fully know in my doctrine. And so as I thought about what that means to fully know, I think it's, this is not the first time that we've heard the Apostle Paul states that we should follow after him, that we should look at his life, that we should look at how he conducts himself and how he thinks, and use that as a guide as we try to follow his lead, his examples that he set. So I find it important that we realize that this is true for today, that the Lord, that Paul is stating this, not that he's thinking that he's any more than you or I, but rather he's stating this because he is like us. He's human, subject to frailties, subject to tests and trials. And yet, even as a result of all those things, he is willing to serve the Lord, to put the Lord first. So the other thought that that comes to my mind on this subject is in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6. And it states, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine or good teachings, whereunto thou hast attained. And then the next verse talks about the fact, something that's just the opposite. So he says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. So it doesn't mean, you know, that we shouldn't try and take care of our bodies, because there is some profit to it, but we shouldn't have our bodies become like a little god to us in the sense that we're spending all of our time and energy devoted to it. So it's one of those areas where we need to heed, and, you know, try to eat right, exercise, but not to excess, because it just profits a little. We're still dying. We're still in that process, the dying process. And even though we can strengthen it up and build it up, we know it doesn't take, but sometimes just a small, the flu sometimes, or a real bad cold to make us completely weak. He goes on to say that godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and that which is to come. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. In other words, this is the truth. Believe it, live it, and don't overdo the bodily part, but rather consider these other things, the spiritual things, as having a more lasting value. Then says the next one I want to look at, and this has to do with the follow. So let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, where it says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life. So when I started to think about fully knowing his teaching, in fully knowing his manner of life, in other words, what is important to Paul? What is he living for? And what is he trying to accomplish? And it's a life that's devoted to filling up the sufferings of Christ and then sharing the truth of the mystery that the Lord gave him and him alone to share with both Jew and Gentile, and to teach the truth of God's election, God's calling, God's purpose with the heavenly hope. We know prior to that, that the Lord had given him a message to and for mainly for Israel, to provoke them to jealousy, and to help them to see and to understand the hope that was given to the children of Israel, the promised land, the so-called rapture of the church, and the establishing of the kingdom here on the earth. But we know this changed. We know when we get to 2 Timothy that hope and calling changed. But it was such that Paul taught both things. When he taught them, he was teaching the truth as he knew and understood it when those truths were given to him. And so we, most of us, have come down a path to get to this point of understanding of the truth of the mystery as a result of just walking with the Lord and following after Paul, following after his teaching. As he changed, we changed. And as his understanding changed, our understanding changed. So I'm going to be looking at some verses that have to do with the idea of following. The first one is in Romans 14, verse 19. Romans 14 and verse 19. And I sort of want us to realize that what Paul is asking us to do there in 2 Timothy is really not all that unusual. I'm trying to look at this verse. Verse 19, chapter 14, verse 19. And Paul says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify one another. For meat destroy not the work of God, and things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine, or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak." Well, we know when Paul wrote this Roman epistle that there was the Jews had a restrictive diet. They didn't eat pork. And yet Paul knew that later on, after the change, that the Lord made all meat, that it was purified as long as it was received in prayer and in thanksgiving. But at the time this was written, he even avoided pork so that it wouldn't cause a weaker brother to stumble or to fall. So there's another good example that we could follow in the fact that we don't want to be a stumbling block to others or have our lifestyle be such that others might stumble just because they've seen us stumble or they've seen us fall. So I think that's another area of, as we look at food now and realize that the rules are different. We don't have the same, dietary restrictions that the Israelites had. And so we need to realize that and take full advantage of the liberty that the Lord has given us when it comes to our diet, comes to our food. The next one is in Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. Philippians 3, verse 2. And I guess I'm looking at these and talking about them and thinking about them so that we realize what Paul was actually asking was not to be uncalled for. That was verse 12, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, sorry. So he says, I'm going to read 11. It says, "If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." I think it's the dead ones. And there's a resurrection that some will still remain in the graves, but others will be a part and partial of our hope and calling. And he says in verse 12, "Not as though I had already attained." In other words, Paul hadn't attained that resurrection yet out from among the dead ones, but he was confident and assured that he would. He says either we're already perfect or brought to his end, as the Lord would bring him to the end eventually. So he's not there yet. But he knows as he continues to follow the Lord that he will arrive there, that the Lord will see to it. He says, "But I follow after, if I may apprehend that for which also and apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, he was called for a purpose. He was called to be an example. He was called to reveal the truth of the mystery. And so he is stating, verifying, confirming to us all that he is worthy to be followed. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So he says in verse 15, which is again just a reminder that we should follow after him. He says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded." In other words, think the same way, have the same attitude that I have. "And if in anything be you otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." That was one of our brother Joe's favorite verses, to the degree that it kind of freed him up from the idea of making everyone see the truth and being upset if they didn't. Because we do know from time to time we'll run across some who will just not move on, or they haven't been called or chosen or predestinated. And so he says, Paul is assuring them, we leave it in the Lord's hands, and if they be otherwise minded, and yet they may see it from someone else, they may not see it through us, but they may see it through the Word, they may see it from someone else. And it's just our responsibility to bring the truth as we see and understand it. So he says, "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing, and brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as you have us for an example." And he says this because he says, "For there's many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." So they're out there. You know, the enemy is out there. And he's just telling us, be followers together of me, and mark those who follow after the same things that I have, and use them for an example, but don't follow after these that are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. It could even be an earthly hope that they want to follow after. And they might want and desire us to follow after the same thing, but we know that ours is a heavenly hope, a heavenly calling, therefore different from what they have. Then there's a verse in 2 Thessalonians 3:7. I'm really trying to establish that there's a pattern of this, having good examples, by the Apostle Paul and by others who have went before us, who have followed after, and who love the truth, and who are willing to even suffer if necessary to bring this truth forward. So 2 Timothy 3:7, he states, "For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, but we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you." In other words, Paul as an apostle was in a position where he could be fed and he could be supported, given financial material. When that happened, whenever he received a financial gain from them, an offering from them, he always gave that to those that were in need. And he was a tent maker, and he worked and made tents and did it in such a fashion that he was not only able to take care of himself, but he was able to take care of others. And he encouraged us to follow that same pattern. So he says in verse 9, not because we have not power, in other words, not that he doesn't have the right to receive from them, but he says, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. And in other words, work for your own living, for your own family, and work enough that you can even have excess that you can help out those that are in need. And so it's one of those things that we have to consider, think about, that Paul was willing to work with his hands, not come up with, like some of the Pharisees did, with excuses for not wanting to give to the poor and not help those in need, but rather to work in such a way that you can be a good example to others. Then another one is in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. So there again, the word is, and follow after these things. And he lists these things by individually, the things that he has done, the things that they are aware of. They have lived in the same age, same time that he did, and they saw him do these things. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. And he says, that thou keep this commandment without spot, rebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not unusual for the Apostle Paul to ask others to follow him as he followed after the Lord. Turn to 2 Timothy. I probably have looked at that when I went through this earlier, because it's in chapter 2 and it's in verse 22. He says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, I should talk about verse 20 first. He says, in a great house are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. What I want you to think about is like the trash can that you have in your house. It's a necessary vessel, but it's certainly, most of the time, it's kept under wraps in place in a closet, or it's kept in a place where we have a lid on it to keep insects and stuff from getting into it. And so it's a necessary vessel, but it certainly is not one that we're proud of to the degree that we want to display it like we would some fine china. So the fine dishes, we might consider those to be the vessels of gold and of silver. But the other ones, of the word wood and of the earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. And the thing he's trying to emphasize here is that we can be followers of the Lord and be vessels of gold and silver, or we could be the vessels, the necessary vessels, that are not going to be as honorable, I guess. So he says in 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart for the master's use, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And he talks, mentions this for the younger people. He says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So you have to say this is the mindset or the attitude that the Apostle Paul had, that he was always thinking of these that were, that needed help or guidance or as examples set before him so that they might be worthy. The next one is 1 Corinthians 4:16, and we were talking about the follower, or to follow. Now we're going to look at some examples of followers. So it's 1 Corinthians 4:16 for our first reference. And he states, we've already read these other things. Let's look at 15. He says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, and yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be you followers of me. And he's saying this to Timothy. And he desires that Timothy be a follower of his. And he says in 17, for this cause have I sent to you Timotheus. So Timotheus is another one who they can follow after. He didn't get the truth directly from the Lord, but he got the truth through the Apostle Paul. And he is one who's considered to be worthy of following. He says, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you to remembrance of my ways, which begin in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. And he mentions some that are puffed up, have an attitude, they're not humble as the Lord would have us to be humble. And so he says those would be examples of some that you wouldn't want to follow. So he says, some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, not in word only, you might say, but in power. There always seem to be those deterrers, those detractors, who would try to cause Paul to stumble. The next one is in chapter 11, verse 1. And again, it's a different hope and a different calling that they had in Corinthians. But the principle about Paul setting a good example, even in this other dispensation, one that he had earlier, is something that he still follows through with. So, it was chapter, well, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, where he uses the word followers of kin. So he says, be you followers of me, even so as I also am. And we could add this, he's a follower of Christ. And so they should follow him because he does a similar ministry to what Christ did. he's living his life in such a manner. It's the same manner in which Christ lived when he was on the planet. So, you know, worthy to be followed. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. And those of you who have a companion Bible, you can look on this word, chapter 5, verse 1, where there's a word that it talks about it's like an imitator. It's because he's saying, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. In other words, we should act and think like Christ does. That's the goal. And the first step, obviously, is to walk in love as Christ also loved us. So Christ is the ultimate example that we should follow after. But in reality, the next one we should think of, the next, especially just a human being to think of, is the Apostle Paul, because he did the same thing. He walked in love, and he also loved us. He didn't know us personally because he was, you know, way before us, but he knew that the God's word was going to go out and not return into him void. So he was confident of that future. And he says, and he has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So we can clearly say that we should be followers of God, followers of the Apostle Paul, because he was willing, he was desirous to do that. We could read down further, but the next verses are just talking about the negative things that we shouldn't be doing. And so I'm not going to bother with that. And there's also, if we go down further, we see there's some positive things. In verse 9, he says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And obviously that is the true one that we are pointed to, that we are to look at, to be an example. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. That word imitator, I one time thought the word imitate was in the scriptures. It's really not. But that word follower has the same idea. So Philippians 3:17, he states that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So that's what Paul was trying to impart on us, is the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What they should have been able to do was seeing what Paul did, how Paul lived, how Paul loved, how he cared, that the Lord Jesus Christ had done the same thing when he was here. He says in 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is his exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. In other words, he's establishing the fact that we should, I'm reading the wrong verse. I'm reading Ephesians 1. I should have been reading Ephesians 5:1. I apologize for that. For 5:1 said that be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. That's where that word imitators was. Then the next one we wanted to look at was Philippians 3:17. Philippians 3:17, where he states, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. I think it's clear to say that the Apostle Paul was not the only one, that he had followers. He had those saints that he had talked to and witnessed to, and they decided they wanted to follow the cause. They wanted to follow the purpose that Paul was living in. And that he's also warning us in the next work. He said, for many walk, of whom I've told you often and not tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So there's others out there that are, that we shouldn't be, I guess, totally surprised if we run into some that are, not following, after Paul. Not having Paul or using Paul as their example of how they should live and how they should conduct themselves. So, again, the idea is that we should all be very familiar with the walk of the Apostle Paul and how he conducted himself. My 45 minutes is almost up. I've got about half of what I wanted to look at. But as I've stated in the past, when we come to God's Word and the study of His Word, we never seem like we're ever really finished with it. But we should all be encouraged to want to walk in a manner that's similar to the Apostle Paul. We know we didn't get the truth the same way that he did, but nevertheless, we got the truth, and we've got one who set an example for us, and we are certainly capable of following after the Lord Jesus Christ, following after the Apostle Paul, and then be an example unto others. So we need to realize that we need to walk in that same way, that same fashion, that others might not stumble, or that we might not cause others to stumble, which our desire is not to do that. It doesn't, we don't always accomplish that which we want to accomplish, but our desire is to be more, act more, love more, like the Apostle Paul, and like the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So with that, I'll close with a quick word of prayer, and we will turn the mic open. So our Heavenly God and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that's in it. We thank you that we have the opportunity and that we're able to walk more like the Apostle Paul, and to try to set a good example of what he means, what he means to us when it comes to the truth and understanding of what is true for today. So with that, we will close, and I will shut the mic off. If anybody else wants to make a comment, I already see.